Al-Aqli, while doing her job, exposing the Zionist entity who was trying to storm Jenin camp last week. Thank you very much for being with us, Julia. Thank you for your contribution. Please stay tuned next week for more from the Mideast Stream.
In the limelight.
New cases are exploding across the U.S., especially in areas where the GOP convinced people that vaccinations and masks are some sort of liberal Trojan horse, says William Rivers Pitt, journalist, in an article published under the heading, Capitalism is to blame for how quickly U.S. COVID deaths reached 1 million. Stay tuned for more. With solemn tone and a truly daunting dot matrix map of the loss, the New York Times put forth the question that nobody seems prepared to deal with at this juncture. How did this country suffer 1 million COVID deaths, the most of any country in the world, in less than 3 years? The answers are spread across a broad palette of shame and disgrace that brushstroke by bloody brushstroke combined to paint a mural of a nation in pinwheeling decline. COVID did not do this to Americans. Like water, it made for the lowest places and flooded the gaps until the walls crumbled, the floors cracked, and the exceptional country was forced to confront just how drab and subpar it reality is, which may serve to explain the silence enveloping this grim and monstrous milestone. This is how it happens, writes Indrajit Samaravija, who watched at his home country of Sri Lanka collapsed after years of civil war. Precisely what you're feeling now, the numbing litany of bad news, the ever-rising outrages, people suffering, dying, and protesting all around you while you think about dinner. If you're trying to carry on while people around you die, your society is not collapsing. It's already falling down. It was capitalism, of course, that made sure they think would rule the day. The idea of obeying science to the point that multi-billion dollar corporations might lose custom and market share for a time was more than intolerable. It was heresy spoken against the faith of the free marketeers and their trickle-down pablum. Minimum wage workers behind plexiglass at the Piggly Wiggly were hailed as heroes in the media. But they weren't heroes, or at least they didn't want to be. They needed the money and the insurance, if any was actually available. And so they worked. Thousands were infected and hundreds died. The gruesome details of COVID and the meatpacking industry are a perfect metaphor for the collision between greed and disease. According to a report by ProPublica, a cohort of meatpacking concerns combined their efforts and lobbied the Trump administration for exemptions that would allow their plants to remain open while shielding them from legal liability. Soon enough, Trump complied. The effect that the meatpacking plant outbreaks had on the early spread of COVID-19 is staggering, reads the report. ProPublica and the other news outlets tracked cases and deaths involving meatpacking workers, but academic researchers have found that by July 2020, about 6% to 8% of all coronavirus cases in the U.S. were tied to packing plant outbreaks, and that by October 2020, community spread from the plants had generated 334,000 illnesses and 18,000 COVID-19-related deaths. Notwithstanding the towering courage and perseverance of the doctors and nurses who fought COVID on the front lines, wearing garbage bags and masks, hosed down with Lysol in the early days because of supply snafus, the bleak truth of this country's garbled medical industry has been exposed. This reaches beyond the overworked hospitals all the way down to the manner in which Americans care for their elders. COVID is exceptionally dangerous for older people, to be sure, but hundreds of thousands of elders died warehoused in homes staffed by brutally under-trained workers. This, again, was capitalism at work. The for-profit medical industry championed by capitalists as the best in the world. The dead know better. Speaking of sham capitalism, no critique of the last 3 years would be complete without a long look at Donald Trump himself, whose performance as president during the crisis will go down in history as one of the more spectacular failures since Icarus told his dad just a little higher. Everything you need to know about Trump's long bungle of COVID can be found in the first public statement he made on the pandemic on the last day of February 2020. At this moment, we have 22 patients in the United States currently that have coronavirus. Unfortunately, one person passed away overnight. She was a wonderful woman, a medically high-risk patient in her late 50s. Four others were very ill. Thankfully, 15 are either recovered fully or they're well on their way to recovery, and in all cases, they have been let go and they're home. Additional cases in the United States are likely. Hundreds of thousands of deaths, along with millions of infections, lay at Trump's spray tanned feet. But the dying has continued through the entirety of the Biden administration. And this, we have the perfect storm. A president weighed down by the failures of his predecessor and beset by a Republican opposition that has been more than happy to use a lethal pandemic for political purposes. It also has not helped that Biden and his fellow Democrats have raised snatching defeat from the jaws of victory into a form of performance art. In the face of all of this, frustrated silence reigns. There is no mystery to it. A great many myths about greatness have been shredded and burnt in the passage of COVID. And here, Americans are once again confronted with a new wave of infections. New cases are exploding across the U.S., especially in areas where the GOP convinced people that vaccinations and masks are some sort of liberal Trojan horse. There were more than 90,000 new infections on May 15th, a two-week increase of 60%.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked among
the holy prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant factor.
Imamat yek asle zinde ast dar tarikh Islam.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. Stay tuned.
ما توی یه حادثه کوچیک خیلی چیزا یادمون میره. تو پیری بسیاری از چیزا یادمون میره.
We become forgetful in times of small incidents. When we are old, we start to forget things. This shows that our brain does not have enough capacity to take everything to the other world. In better words, the soul is the best container to carry our thoughts and deeds to the other world. Even the greatest religious authorities are exposed to forgetfulness up to an extent that they might even forget some of their sentences during Salat.
إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ مَهَلُّ النِّسْيَانِ.
Truly, human beings are exposed to forgetfulness. At the time of death, our brain might forget everything. The only entity that can carry our deeds and thoughts to the other world is our soul. If we have Allah in our souls, we can reach salvation in the other world. A person who has spent his or her life with Allah can have Allah in his heart and soul in the other world too. For such faithful people, loneliness at the time of death and pain of soul has no place. As the famous Persian poem says, O Allah, from day one I made a covenant with you. To the last day I won't leave it. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone. How about pondering upon an excellent piece of advice from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, the first infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Do not sit to a table on which there is wine, because no one can guess the very hour in which his soul is grasped.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle.
Today's lesson, guiding neighbors. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the topic of guidance or guiding neighbors when they are in need. According to the Islamic teachings, we see that where it is emphasized to have relations with the neighbors, a good relation, and to be connected with the neighbors and to look after their rights. One of the rights of the neighbors is whenever they're in need and they need guidance, we must provide that guidance. If they're in need of any advice, we must go and advise them if we are capable of advising. Therefore, those who are capable of advising, those who have special kind of specialization in a specific topic, and if the neighbors need any information in that topic or in that subject, it is necessary upon that person that he must help their neighbors. And that's why Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, he also refers that وَهِدَايَتِي مُسْتَرْشِدِهِمْ. And whenever they have a question, you must guide them. When they need guidance, you must guide them, if you know that. And this is important because we see that, unfortunately, because of the lifestyle that we have, people do not know each other. And even if they know each other, they just know each other on a basic level, but they do not know each other in depth. Therefore, it is necessary to communicate with the people. It is necessary to socialize at least with the neighbors so that we know what they are doing. We sometimes don't know even what our neighbors are doing, and we are unaware of their profession, unaware of their education, unaware of their needs. And this is necessary that being Muslim, we must take care of our neighbors, inshallah. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of guidance and guiding the neighbors in the Islamic lifestyle. We said that it is necessary to know our neighbors and have a good relation with the neighbors so that we know their needs and we can help them. Therefore, in the Islam, it is necessary that the guidance must be provided to the neighbors. The advice must be provided to the neighbors. Maybe our neighbors are in need. They don't need our money. They don't need any other kind of help. But obviously, they might need our professional advice. And if I am a profession in a specific field, I must provide advice for them. Maybe in our neighbors, or maybe I am a lawyer, and I can help my neighbors free of cost. It is not necessary to just charge from everyone. I cannot charge from my own kids, from my family. Therefore, the neighbors are also somehow family members. Therefore, if I am a lawyer, I can provide them free advice. If I'm a doctor, I can provide a free advice so that they have the precautions. Maybe I am a finance manager. I can provide a good financing advices to my neighbors. Maybe I am in the first aid, or like in a specific field that I think that some of my neighbors, or maybe the neighbors who are living around me, they need this information and they should be aware of this so that they can have these precautions. Therefore, it is necessary to provide that guidance. If I am capable of that, and if I'm not doing that, then obviously I'm not performing, I'm not giving the right of my neighbors to them. Therefore, we must be careful, inshallah, and give the rights of the neighbors to them, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EN.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
The lush green oasis near Sudan's capital, Khartoum, has turned into a haven for dozens of exotic bears from all over the world. The sanctuary shelters over 100 bears of 13 different species. Here, visitors can feed lovebirds, parakeets, rosella bears, and many more. The owner of the sanctuary says he trained the bears over the years to make them human-friendly. Akram Yahia says he has a passion for bears and enjoys it when people come around to see the sanctuary. The sanctuary, which is part of the Marshall Nature Reserve, is a welcome break for the people from their hectic life in Khartoum and nearby cities.
He tried to create an environment that doesn't exist in Khartoum. These environments exist in other parts of Sudan, such as in the west of Sudan, in the east of Sudan, in rainy areas. These areas have environments such as this one, and perhaps even more beautiful. He created this environment in Khartoum, where there is not nature at all.
Domestic and foreign tourists are allowed there only 2 to 3 hours a day. The limited hours are so that the bear's living environment is not disturbed. The owner built the 400-square-meter sanctuary 4 years ago. Over the years, he has added trees, garden, pond, and mist nozzles for cooling off against Sudan's scorching heat. Yahia says he wants to expand the reserve in the future. Indonesians have held a dazzling event to celebrate Vesak, a day traditionally observed by Buddhists in South Asia and Southeast Asia. People gathered at the sprawling Borobudur Temple in central Java and released lanterns into the sky. That's part of prayers marking the birth, enlightenment and death of Buddha, a spiritual teacher who lived during the 6th century BC. The release of lanterns symbolizes letting go of negativity. The occasion lasts 3 days, which includes collecting holy water, sending off lanterns, and meditation. This year, the event was limited to some 1,200 people because of the coronavirus risk. Because of the outbreak of the pandemic, the ceremonies typically receive 20,000 people at the massive temple complex.
Tehran is hosting the 33rd International Book Fair in person for the first time after 2 years of lockdown as a result of COVID-19. This has caused enthusiasts to visit the fair for new titles. Saman Kujuri has the story.
The 33rd Tehran International Book Fair is underway in the Iranian capital, with over 1,700 Iranian as well as 170 foreign publishers attending the event. It is the first time after 2 years of lockdown as a result of the COVID-19 that the Tehran International Book Fair is being held both in person and online. As the top Iranian book event, the fair has millions of visitors every year, including thousands of university students, scholars, and their families.
I'm very happy to see that the book fair has once again opened its doors to the visitors in person after 2 years of lockdown as a result of the COVID-19. I love reading books. To me, the Tehran Book Fair is my favorite event.
For me, the book fair is an opportunity to get my kids familiar with books. I try to take them to different book fairs so as to teach them that book is a necessity in our life. I want to raise my children with the love for book reading.
A huge number of national visitors, along with international exhibitors from different countries, make this event one of the unique cultural events. The book fair is a good opportunity for publishers to showcase their new products.
We have designed our educational books based on augmented reality, which is an interactive experience of a real-world environment where the objects that reside in the real world are enhanced by computer-generated perceptual information, and students can watch educational films related to any specific topic. It will help students better understand educational topics.
It is said that books give a soul to the universe, wings to the mind, flight to the imagination, and life to everything. And this is exactly what the book fair tries to help you achieve.
By reading books, we feel healthy is the motto of the 33rd edition of the Tehran International Book Fair, which will be running through May 21st at Imam Khomeini's Musalla. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
A group of over a dozen penguins has been released back to the sea after being given a second chance to live.
The condition of these specimens, which fortunately could be reinserted, is very common to find. They are animals that appear stranded on the coast, found with malnutrition, dehydration, hypothermia, and a high degree of parasitism. Specialists call this condition the stranded penguin syndrome.
The penguins were rescued and taken to the Mundo Marino Foundation, where they were rehabilitated. They were kept warm and were fed liquids until they could eat fish again. Before their release, blood and other samples were taken, and a chip was implanted to track them. One of the penguins was a southern rock hopper, which is a species listed as endangered. Biologists at a rescue center say there are many reasons why penguins get stranded and malnourished. These include overfishing, global warming, and other environmental changes.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Thousands of people crowd into the British city of Norwich to watch a 2-kilometer-long string of dominoes topple, while winding through town. Some 7,500 breeze blocks were set up for the event. The dominoes slinged through street buildings, windows, and even climbed up stairs and trees. The toppling lasted 30 minutes. The moving sculpture was installed across the city with the help of some 200 volunteers. The artistic director said the work was chosen partly because it was a spectacle and both disrupted the city and engaged its people.
There's a sense of anticipation that goes with the work. You would have seen people around town at the moment. Everybody's asking, what's going on? And then when they realise what it is, then there's this sense of, oh, and when are you going to knock it over? So that it's a sculpture also that gets destroyed in many ways, and that's really part of the work as well. I mean, I like to think about it as a child almost playing with the city. You know, they're setting everything up, and we all know they're going to knock it down at some point, and that's fun.
Daniel Bryant said he was excited about the project because it looked like a child had taken over the city with the joy of knocking down dominoes. The cascading dominoes ran through two cities, eventually ending at the site of Norfolk and Norwich Festival of Arts. The organizers say the goal of the installation was to bring unity to the community. Chilean paleontologists unearthed a rare, fully intact fossil of what is known as a sea dragon discovered from a melting glacier deep in Patagonia.
It is the first complete and excavated ichthyosaur that has been found in Chile. It also corresponds to one of the most complete fossils ever found on the planet for the Cretaceous period. It is the only pregnant ichthyosaur that's been found on the planet from the era between 129 and 139 million years ago. So it's incredibly important.
The 4-meter-long fossil is nicknamed Fiona and swam the seas some 250 million years ago. Scientists say this specimen will help them understand this species and its embryonic development. The expedition lasted over a month because of the remote nature of the find in the Patagonian glaciers. Paleontologists had to make a 10-hour hike just to get to the site. They also had to camp in extreme weather conditions while maneuvering tricky, rocky surfaces. But collecting and transporting the fossil was a whole other story.
As we went down excavating, weakening the rock, we realized the skeleton was mostly complete, so much that the bones were pushed inwards and we had to make 5 blocks of approximately 200 kilos each to move it.
The blocks were then airlifted to the Rio Seco Natural History Museum in southern Chile to be prepared for exhibition. The fossil was first discovered by Ruth Pedro more than a decade ago, but because of the site's harsh terrain, its extraction was a complex challenge. Scientists also discovered over 20 other specimens of the same species during the expedition, bringing the total found in the glacier area to 100.
Stopping by and listening to street musicians usually changes our mood for the rest of the day. The experience would be different if one lies under the instrument while it is being played. And that's exactly what a pianist in America has done. Colin Huggins, a busker, wheels his grand piano more than a half a mile from a mini storage to New York's Washington Square Park. He lets people lie down under the instrument and feel the vibrations from the claviers in their bodies. Colin says he wants to help people recover emotionally from the intense disconnect they had faced during COVID lockdowns.
I've always wanted to accommodate feelings in the best way possible, and I wanted to do it with music, and this is the best way I figure out how to do it. Maybe someday I'll figure out a way to do it even better, and I won't need to push this piano here. But as of now, this is the best I've got.
New York was one of the hardest hit cities by COVID in the U.S. Like other places, the major city imposed lockdowns and tough curbs to contain the virus. Despite that, Colin continued playing on the streets, frequently to an audience of zero. He says he strongly believes that everything will be okay. Cambodian fishermen aiming for small fish were shocked to see the surprise catch tied to their hook. This creature was nothing but an endangered giant freshwater stingray, which had swallowed the fishermen's catch. It was 4 meters long and weighed 180 kilos. The female leviathan is one of the rarest species of fish in Southeast Asia. Therefore, a team of international experts helped unhook the stingray to release it back to the waters unharmed.
All right, so we've just released our giant stingray back into the wild. She's kind of hanging out on the surface of the river here. It's amazing to be able to see her swimming around in her natural habitat and to have participated in the release of this giant stingray today.
The giant stingray was caught in the Mekong River, an important habitat for different species of fish, including huge catfish and barb. However, experts say the river's underwater ecosystem has been damaged by massive plastic wastes. Environmentalists constantly warn that building dams on the Mekong River is also destroying its large fish stock.
Scaling Mount Everest is only a dream for many and a once-in-a-lifetime achievement for most professional mountaineers. Well, not for this Nepali Sherpa, who has now repeated the feat for a record 26th time. 52-year-old Kami Rita led a group of other Sherpa climbers along the traditional Southeast Ridge route to the world's tallest peak. In the process, he beat his own previous record set last year. Rita first scaled Everest in 1994 and has been making the trip nearly every year since then. The Sherpa community is an ethnic group indigenous to the Himalayan region. They are expert mountain navigators who also carry heavy loads. Everest stands nearly 9,000 meters above sea level. The mountain has been climbed more than 10,000 times since it was first scaled in 1953. The bad news is more than 300 people have died trying.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. This is today's special and the topic is giving gifts in Islam.
Every morning I wake up and see the splendor of Allah's beauty. The sky at dawn, the silent trees. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. As I set to start my day, I think of Allah and I pray. His blessings are with me always. Praise be to Him, most kind is He. Praise be to Him, most kind is He.
Today, Friday, is the 18th of Shawwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 30th of Urdibehesht, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 20th of May, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Al-Hajj, verse 37.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم كذلك سخرها لكم لتكبروا الله على ما هداكم وبشر المحسنين.
Their meat will not reach Allah, nor will their blood, but what reaches him is piety from you. Thus have we subjected them to you, that you may glorify Allah for that to which he has guided you, and give good tidings to the doers of good.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Ma lana rabbun siwa.
On one side, Allah has taught you the rites of Hajj and the style of obedience and servitude. And on the other side, He has made these big and powerful animals subservient to you to obey you so that you can use them in the way of obedience of Allah, sacrificing, doing good to the needy people and providing your own life. This good news is for those who utilize these divine blessings in the path of obeying Him, and they fulfill their duties in the best form and especially do not show any shortcoming in spending out in the cause of Allah.
The greatest gift. It's the greatest gift from Allah to be in the last prophet. Summa salatullah wa salamullah. The greatest gift from Allah to be in the last prophet. Summa salatullah wa salamullah. Ala al-Hadi Rasulillah. What can be said of Mustafa? He was the wish of Musa. Or the news of Isa, the prayer of Ibrahim. What can be said of Mustafa? He was the wish of Musa. Or the news of Isa, the prayer of Ibrahim. It's the greatest gift from Allah to be in the last prophet. Summa salatullah wa salamullah ala al-hadi rasulillah.
As you know, the topic of this episode is giving gifts in Islam. This is IRIB English Radio. Today's special. The gift has a great effect in gaining love. It is a sign of love and serenity of hearts, and it is a notice of appreciation and respect. So the Prophet accepted it from the Muslim and the non-Muslim, and accepted it from the woman as he accepted it from the man. The price of the gift does not matter, rather it is the emotion and love behind the gift. Prophet of Islam, who was the best of creation, he was the one who was the perfect human being. He did not reject gifts because of their worth. He would accept them because he wanted to make the giver feel a sense of joy. The Prophet has stated, whoever is offered a sweet-smelling flower should accept it and not reject it because it is a very ordinary thing. Its fragrance is a thing of joy. This is a clear indication that the price or scarcity of the item is unimportant. A Muslim is not so shallow. Well, he is not supposed to be.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about various aspects of offering presents and gifts to friends in Islam. When someone's parents are dead and this person, for example, who is alive, recites the Holy Quran or, for example, performs some religious practices and dedicates the religious rewards and dedicates the religious rewards obtainable out of such practices to this person, to this to the dead people, it makes both the dead people delighted and happy, and also it makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very much delighted. At the same time, it's indicated, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated in a piece of hadith give yourselves, give each other gifts and presents, because it removes any unfavorable feelings and makes your unfavorable regards to each other to kindness and friendship between you. And what's indicated here is that people should be instructed to give each other gifts, either by way of returning one's earlier kindness, or in order to give a gift to someone, for example, on certain occasions, or in just simply to make someone delighted. Thank you.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
One question is here. Is there any problem with giving or accepting gifts? Narrations from the Prophet speak about gift-giving is a way we commonly know it. The key difference between Islamic gift-giving and Western traditions is we don't need to wait for a reason to buy someone a gift like a birthday, Christmas, or Mother's Father's Day. The Prophet used to accept the gift and make return for it. This hadith summarizes the concept of giving and receiving gifts in Islam. The Prophet's actions indicate he has no issue whatsoever with giving gifts and would even reciprocate.
The most valuable gift that everyone should learn to value today is that we should appreciate this life throughout our everyday. The most valuable gift that everyone should learn to value today is that we should appreciate this life throughout our everyday. The gift of life He granted us, how could we ever repay? Show gratitude to your Creator, and please do not delay.
Now, best item gift ideas for everyone. This is a suggestion from today's special from IRIB English Radio. Fragrant flowers for husband and wife. Flowers are the signs of love, care, and affection. They are also from the best Islamic gift ideas list that you can follow. Everyone loves to clean their houses before the arrival of the holy month of Ramadan and Eid. They also love to decorate their homes with particular types of flowers and other decorative things. Therefore, it will be a cool idea if you will give flowers as a gift to your Muslim fellows. Followers hold particular values to Muslims, as Holy Prophet also liked them very much. On the other hand, they are also loved by non-Muslims. In short, flowers are also the best things that you can give as a gift to your Muslim fellows.
When you give in the way of Allah, then your action, whatever you gave, that thing that you gave, it will remain. You built a masjid, you gave charity, you donated, you helped an orphan, you helped set up a project, whatever you do, if you did it for Allah, that will remain. If you did it for dunya, it will not remain. It will only remain as long as this dunya continues. It will only remain as long as people are alive. If you did it for people. So this is a very important point. And when you do something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you're not going to expect thanks from people. Sometimes one of the major issues, problems that people have is they say, oh, I did this for him, I did this for her, but they didn't thank me. They didn't appreciate me. They didn't say thanks. If we are doing something sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we would not expect thanks from anyone else. Now, if it's work, if it's job, you're doing it as your job, this is something, no, then people have to give you your right. But sometimes you're giving a gift or you're doing something and you come and you ruin it. You come and you destroy it through words, through actions, through harsh tone, through saying things that are hurtful and disrespectful. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُبْطِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى. O you people who believe, do not make void your sadaqat, your charity, through hurtful words and through harmful actions when you hurt other people. You're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't need to say something. You don't need to hurt someone's feeling. Just because you came and helped this person out, that doesn't mean that you have the right to come and, you know, use bad words and foul language with this person, because that will break that person's heart. This is a very important point. Third, my dear brothers and sisters, when we give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're not going to look at who we're giving. You know, some people, when it comes to giving, they say, oh, I only give people from this community. I only give this group of people. I give people from this village, from this, you know, nationality, people with this passport, even people with this religion. My dear brothers and sisters, when we give, we have to give in the way, if we're giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not going to matter to us who we gave, because at the end of the day, al-khalqu 'iyalullah. Everyone in creation, everyone in existence is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everyone is in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Thank you very much for joining us. That was all for today's special. We leave you in Allah's protection, and of course, don't forget to follow us on parstoday.com/en. Today's special.
You heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.